Well, trust you had a good day today, and we're looking forward to being in the Word together tonight. So I trust that our lesson tonight can be a help to us. We're looking at another one of our principles. Tonight we're going to be looking at the edification principle. And I think there's a lot of things in here that can be of real good encouragement to us, and I trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts through it. But as we begin the edification principle, we need to, first of all, just have a little bit of an introduction and just remind ourselves of what we're doing here. You know, finding God's will about an activity when the Bible does not directly address the activity requires that we prove it or test it with biblical principles. And that's what we're all about here, looking for those principles. And so far we've looked at three different principles. Who can tell me what they were? What's the first one we looked at? John Ray?
Appearance, like if it looks evil.
Okay, association principle. Okay, second one, Garrett?
Wedge principle.
Third one?
Doubt principle.
Okay, so we've looked at those three so far. All right, and so tonight we're going to be looking at the edification principle. Now, the purpose of all these is there's different principles that will help us as we dig through and ask God, how can I do this and what can I do and what do I need to know here? And so different things will help us in different ways where the association principle won't cover all of it, the wedge principle won't cover all of it, the doubt principle won't cover all of it, and the edification one won't cover all of it. So that's why we've got seven of them all together, hopefully to cover most of those situations in life. Now, these principles, again, are not rules. They're tools to help us to be able to find out what God wants us to do. And if you want to live a holy life and please the Lord, you'll find that these principles will be a great help in making godly choices. And that, I hope, is your goal. And I desire that in my own heart, and I hope it's the desire of your heart, that we can make godly choices in life that would truly honor and glorify God. And, you know, as we get to know God and we get to know more about God, there's so much that we need to modify in our lives. There's so much in this world that will pull us the wrong direction. And our God is a wonderful, holy God, but our life here is far from that. So we got a lot to work to do. You know, the meaning of edification here, as we look at the word edification, we ask us, what does that mean? What's edification? Well, it's related to the word edify. And if you've heard of that word edify, it talks about being built up or building up someone. Edification is another form of that. And it has to do with improving a person mentally, morally, and spiritually. All right, so that's edification. Building us up in those three areas. You know, it's very important that we get this definition rooted in our minds, because this is what's going to help us as we look at this edification program principle here. It improves us those three ways, mentally, morally, and spiritually. All right? And as we look at this, the mental edification has to do with improving our minds and our thoughts. How can it improve our minds and our thoughts? So what we're going to be looking at are things that we do, activities that we do that are actually helping us. They're improving our thoughts, they're improving our minds, improving what we think about. They'll also help us morally. The moral edification has to do with improving our behavior. And so these things we're looking at here, this will make me a better person. It'll make me more like God. It'll make my character right and keep me from evil things. And then spiritual edification, it has to do with improving our relationship with God. And so any activity, we need to ask ourselves, is it going to help me to become more like God? Is it going to make me more like Christ? Is it going to help my behavior? Is it going to clean my mind and help my mind and encourage my mind? Or is it going to do the opposite? All right, so those are things we need to ask ourselves. And a good activity should improve us in some way for God's glory. All right, so that is our goal. If it's a good activity, there ought to be something about that that's going to help me to become more like God wants me to be. And if it doesn't make me more like God wants me to be, it probably is going to be pulling me the other direction. All right? And that brings us to the next thought about this, and we'll get into that in just a second here. All right? The focus of edification here, the edification principle focuses on improvement, as we just talked. You know, if an activity edifies, it will improve our walk with God. Alright, so if it's building me up, I'm gonna have a better walk with God. And folks, we all need better walks with God. I was pondering this today earlier. You know, we really truly need revival. We really need revival in our hearts, because in so many ways, We are lacking. We need revival. We need to draw closer to God. And I was listening last night to a message on grieving the Holy Spirit and realizing that in so many ways, when we do little things that just aren't what God wants, it really grieves the Spirit of God. We really need revival in our hearts. And it'll make us more Christ-like. If it's edifying, we're going to become more Christ-like. You know, if I do this thing, if it makes me more like Jesus Christ, then that's what I really want. If it makes me more like the devil, I don't want that. It will make you and others better. Better in our character, better in our behavior, better in our thoughts. It'll help us in many different ways. Both, not only me, but it'll help other people that if I'm involved in somebody else with one of those activities. It'll build up and not tear down. That's the biggest thing. We don't want anything we do to pull us down. We've got all kinds of influences around us all the time that are pulling us down. You know, everywhere you turn, there's something that's going to catch your eye, that's going to pull you down. And, you know, we need to make sure that our activities are that which are building us up. It'll encourage us rather than defeat us. And, folks, we all need encouragement. You know, and every one of us, we need encouragement. Encouragement to be more like Christ. Encouragement to be closer to God. Encouragement in our spiritual walk. Encouragement in our every area of our life. And it will bless instead of bash. You know, there's so many things that bash us down and push us down and beat us down and defeat us. But this will bless and build us up, and it'll be a positive thing. It will help us to serve God and to serve others. You know, if we have a If this activity is something that really pleases God, it's going to help me to serve God, and it's going to help me to serve others. And that's really the goal we're after. Now, as you look at the little diagram on the side, just some, you know, little pictures to kind of help us to understand here, but it helps us get in mind. You know, the children, when they're trying to be a blessing to each other, that's building up. There's nothing spiritual about that necessarily in the sense of, you know, he's not talking about the Bible, he's just sharing his toys. But, you know, even something like that is building up instead of pulling down. And, you know, then in the middle there, watching the television, you know, there's a lot of garbage on that. I mean, you've got to be very, very careful with the television, whether you're watching the TV or internet on it, or whether you're watching movies on it. You know, there's so much there that the devil puts in little, even philosophies that'll pull us down and hurt us. And the music pulls us down and hurts us. And so be very careful with that. And then, you know, the little guy at the bottom there with his time bomb in his hand there.
It's extreme,
that one. It definitely is. It gets the point across, okay? Then, as we apply the edification principle, how do we apply it? All right, we ask that question, well, aren't there some activities out there that are neutral? You know, that aren't going to pull me down, they're not going to lift me up, they're just going to be kind of neutral. Well, you stop and think about that. Does every activity really have to be good or bad or helpful or hurtful?
No.
Well, you know, very few activities are truly neutral. Right? Most of them will either hurt us or help us or hurt us. And you stop and think about it long enough, and there's not too many things that are actually neutral that aren't going to be building us up in some way or pulling us down in some way. And so there are some in the middle, and I'm not saying there's not any, but we need to be careful. For example, basketball is a fun sport. It improves the muscle tone, team skills, and coordination, and provides excitement, and it's very that is edifying, those things. However, basketball could become an idol in your life. All right? If a young person takes off after basketball and they just play basketball all the time, and you know that's their little idol. It could come that if you get good at it, you know, it certainly can increase your pride. You know, if you got so you're really good at basketball. It's hard to keep, you know, anytime we get really good at something, it's hard to keep our pride under control. It really is. And playing on a team may require that you play on Sundays. You know, that's a tough one. What am I going to do? You know, and I know some people in Christian families, the kids playing in sports and they have to play on Sunday, so they just don't show up on Sunday. Well, that doesn't seem to be honoring to the Lord, but that's something you're going to have to work through. All right? And then being on a team could expose you to foul talk. Now, I realize there's foul talk everywhere we go. But getting involved in that, and when you're in with all these guys, and you know, I mean, the closer you get in that kind of stuff, there's more of that kind of, you get in the locker room, and there are all kinds of smut and garbage talking, and, you know, things of that nature. So there's more of that opportunity there. Something we're going to have to work through and ask ourselves, is that what would build me up or pull me down? I could promote ungodly temptations. You know, you get around a bunch of these unbelievers and they, you're going off to some activity or riding in the bus to the next game and they're all talking about dirty stuff or filthy stuff on the bus and they, you know, tempting you to listen to bad stories or even, you know, they getting involved in alcohol or smoking and stuff like that. There's all kinds of things like that. And I realize we can get that other places too, but we're just talking about one thing that basketball, in a sense, could be a neutral thing. You'd say, well, there's nothing wrong with basketball. And there really isn't. But it could be involved in bad things. So you can't really say that it's totally neutral. Now, honest evaluation is critical, but often very difficult. Our old nature always takes the wrong side. And that's something we need to remember. Our old nature always takes the wrong side. And use the doubt principle to help you check the neutrality of an activity. You know, when we'd really like to say, but I don't see there's anything wrong with this. It's just a neutral activity. But remember, our old nature will side with the wrong side. And we need to use those doubt principles to be able to check that and just evaluate that, because it is a tough one. And if you think that an activity is neutral, then it's ask a godly person if they agree. You know, don't be afraid of that. Peter?
When bringing down the fact that, as you say, every activity can be good, bad, neutral, whatever. But there are different aspects of the same activity. I mean, there's the team sport, there's the when you play, who you play with, whether you have betting involved, whether you have drugs involved. Is it a Christian activity with the Christian church? So it isn't necessarily that the entire activity can be aspects of it,
yep,
which you can then modify to make it more of it.
Yeah, and you know, there may be ways you can work around that and you know, work through some of those kind of things. I mean, I mentioned before that one of the things when my boys were in high school and they wanted to play baseball, and so I told them that if the City of Wanneroo would let me coach the baseball team, then they could play, and then I could kind of keep a close eye on things and keep everything's under control. And I mean, even then, as a coach, I saw a lot of garbage these guys were trying to get away with, and I put a stop on it, and they probably thought I was too nuts, but that's all right. I kept things under control. But, you know, that was one of the ways that we tried to control a situation that could have been a detrimental situation, and I think we made it so that it was an enjoyable one, and it probably more edifying for all the other guys, even though they probably didn't like some of the rules that I had. But that's all right. But I appreciate your input. Any other thoughts?
Well, we're not just talking about sport, are we?
No, that's not just about sport. It's about everything.
It could be, say, arts and crafts.
Oh, absolutely. I just used that as one illustration because...
painting portraits.
Yep.
Yep. You could even become proud of what you're doing. And
I know. I know, it is hard.
Get yourself away from the Lord that way too.
Yep. Sasha?
You just got to keep control of it.
I was thinking of the verse here in John 17. I just found it, I lost it again. Pray that thou shouldest take them, not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them. Should
keep
them from
evil. Yes. So the Lord was praying there for us, that not that that we would be taken out of the world. We've got to live in the world, but that the Lord would keep us from the evil one.
Yes.
All right, and that is a challenge. And you know, being around the world, we got to be around the world, but there's times when that's what all this is about. You know, there's times when we can make choices and say, you know, it's really not the best choice to be that close to them when I don't have to. But we do have to be around them at other times. Peter, you had a comment?
I was going to ask you whether basketball is a good, bad, or neutral activity.
Yeah, well, that all depends on the situation.
Exactly, that's my point.
Yeah.
Layers and levels.
Yeah. And all I'm saying is that everything we've got to evaluate in ourselves. And again, these are guidelines or tools, not rules, all right? So I can't stand up and say, you shouldn't play baseball, you shouldn't play basketball, because they're all bad. I mean, there's a whole lot of difference. I mean, if you're playing basketball in your backyard, it's a whole lot different than you're trying to run for the national team. There's lots of differences there. All right, Jean-Ray, do you have a comment before we move?
I think the context is more like food, but Paul was talking about that, you know, like a lot of things are not necessarily unlawful, but they're not necessarily something he would do anyway, because they're not necessarily the safest thing to try out. That's hard to explain. Like when he was dealing more with like foods and things offered to
We'll get into another principle. One of the other principles is deals with whether it's the best option.
Yeah.
And we'll be dealing with that when we get to there.
Right.
All right. So things that require an edification principle. One of them is media. All right. You got all kinds of media things out there in our world. Listening to the news, I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to the news, but I can tell you one thing. There's a lot of garbage on the news. Listening to talk radio. Sometimes that gets pretty smutty. The choice of music and sermons you listen to. I mean, even that you got to be discerning with. I mean, I know right now of two different men that were members of our church, young men that were members of our church in years gone by, that started listening to sermons, and they chose the kind of sermons that they wanted that were Calvinistic, and before long, they both come to me and say, oh, we're Calvinists now. And it was all because of what they chose to listen to. And they told me they chose to listen to those kind because that's what they liked and what they wanted. And they ended up, they just convinced them and they went up that direction. So even things like that, there's nothing wrong with listening to sermons, but you got to be discerning even in that. TV shows, videos, surfing the web, there's a lot of, you got to be careful, especially if you don't have a filter on. Books and novels and magazines, texting, and Facebook and all these other kinds of things. There's so much in the media world where we really need to ask ourselves, is this edifying me or is it pulling me down? Is it really helping me or is it hurting me? And so there's constant, areas there where we need to be careful. Another one is in our activities, and we've already touched on this a little bit, going to the gym. Anything wrong with going to the gym? Well, the gym's got good stuff in it. You mean exercise and all that kind of stuff, but, there's a lot of people there that don't wear much clothes either. And, there's things you're going to have to evaluate. Playing on a sport team, we've been kind of discussing that. And then attending sports games, even that, there's those kind of things. And I've attended sports games, and probably all of us have, but there is some garbage involved in some of that, too. We just need to work through these hobbies, choice of friends, even Christian friends can sometimes not be the best of choices. And then things I say about others, all of these things are activities that we need to evaluate. Another one's our thoughts. All right. So our thoughts, we need to really guard our thoughts. First of all, it's our leisure time thoughts. When we're just sitting around, we don't have really anything important to do, and our thoughts just kind of wander wherever they want to wander. And we need to guard that because sometimes they wander in the wrong direction. Bedtime meditations, you're laying down, trying to go to sleep, and you're not falling asleep right away. Well, what do you think about? You can quote Bible verses, but you could also think about a lot of stuff that wouldn't be so wholesome. All right? And so you got to do something here. And then temptation thoughts. When the temptation comes and those thoughts are going through our mind and the devil's trying to tempt us, we've got to deal with that. And so all of these, you get to ask yourselves, is this thought edifying me or is it actually trying to pull me down? And so these are things we need to evaluate. Now some questions that can aid in the edification process. And we're going to look at some verses we go through here. And I think that they can be of help to us as well. But the first one is ask positive questions. Will it please God or please myself? Will it please God or please myself? Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23 says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and daily and follow me. All right. Then the next one, will it strengthen my Christian life? Jude chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Another one is in Romans chapter 15, verse number 2. Will it build up others or tear them down? Romans 15, 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor, for his good to edification. All right. Will it help my Christian testimony? This is a good verse. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Does it glorify God? Good question. All right. Will it promote humility or pride? Yeah, Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride is one of our big enemies. Is it a wise use of my time? Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Okay. Negative questions we could ask. All right. Will it take me away from church attendance? Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay. Another one, will it rob quality time from my Bible study? Psalm 1, 1-3, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law, in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he is shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Okay, so will it rob me of time with God? And then, is the atmosphere of this activity ungodly? Our Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And then one last one, will it make provision for my flesh to fulfill the lust thereof? Romans 13, 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. All right, so these are just some basic questions that we can ask ourselves. Is this going to build me up or is it going to tear me down? Then that brings us to some other just general verses that deal with the subject at hand. Specifically here, Romans 15:2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. All right, so God wants us to please others, to build them up. To build them up. And that, you know, everything we do in life around other people are either going to build them up or they could pull them down. And we need to make sure we're helping people, and that ought to be our goal and our passion in life. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. God said, I want everything that comes out of our mouth to build people up and not tear them down. That's hard. And yet that's something we need to strive for. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things that are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. That may be what John Reed was just referring to. All right? So we've got to ask ourselves, is it helping or hurting? 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Right? He says we are to edify one another. That ought to be our goals as Christians. So God said these are things that are our responsibilities. If you know Christ, God wants you and God wants me to be edifying or building up other people. John?
Just put the 1 Corinthians 10:23 over there when it says all things are lawful. I mean, it was Paul speaking there. Does he mean that, like a lot of things in life are lawful in the sense that they don't go against the law of God or the commandments of the Bible, but in and of themselves, they don't really have anything much to add to you spiritually necessarily?
Well, yeah, I think that's probably what he was had in mind. He certainly was not talking about saying, well, I can do whatever I want to and it's fine. No, he wasn't saying that. So in the context of what he was dealing with there, he was dealing with there. Yeah. Okay. And then some more general verses here. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, a very important one. If we're going to edify others, we've got to guard our heart. We've got to guard our heart. It's very important. Proverbs 14:7, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. You know, that is critical, and yet sometimes friends will lead us the wrong direction. And if you've got a friend that is acting foolishly, God said, do not spend time with them because they're going to pull you down. And then Romans chapter 16, verse 19, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. God said, I want you to be wise concerning good and simple or foolish or ignorant concerning the evil. He said, I don't want you to be involved in that. And then Jude, we have already read this one, Jude 1, 20 and 21, but it's a great verse. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. All right, and then we come to the last slide, and that is, if an event or an activity does not edify your Christian life and improve you mentally, morally, and spiritually, it's likely doing you harm. And let's be more like the Master. All right, so sift those things through your grid of the Bible and let the Bible be a help to you. And, you know, the things we've talked about here tonight are tools, they're not rules. And, you know, we can't just say, well, this activity is always wrong and this activity is always right. Now, some activities you can put a big stamp on it and say, no, bad. It's not going to be good for you, period. But then there's other things that are kind of in between. We say, well, I'm not really sure. And so each of us are going to have to work through that. But even though you may go to some activity that others would say is perfectly harmless, but deep down in your heart you know that it's pulling you away because maybe it's taking you away from something you should have done, or it is, you know, when you're there, you're in an environment that gets your thoughts on things that shouldn't be there. And so it may not be wrong for somebody else, but for you, you just can't sit there and do this because this just isn't right. This isn't what God wants. And sometimes it's just the fact that it's nothing more than it just is wasting my time. I really should be doing something that would honor God and use my time more wisely. And this is just wasting my time. It's not maybe helping me or hurting me, but it is stealing my time that I could be using for something that would be edifying. So all of those are involved.